Well, let's get back to first-line therapy and particularly how biomarkers drive decisions. You know, for years we've heard about so many different prognostic biomarkers, but now it seems like things are coalescing around predictive markers, and there are not that many of them from what I can see. But from a point of view of a general oncologist and community-based practice, what are the critical biomarkers that you think need to be evaluated in somebody who's requiring treatment?
Right. Well, so absolutely 17p deletion and TP53 mutation. Evaluation for somatic mutation of TP53 has not been that widespread, but there are increasingly next-generation sequencing panels commercially available, and so this can be done just on peripheral blood at the same time as FISH for 17p. And those are both very critical because we automatically triage any patient with either of those toward novel agent therapy.
Before you go on, can you talk a little bit about sort of the genetics of what 17p is and the P53 gene? And also, I mean, we see this in many different cancers, but somehow it seems different here.
Right. So 17p deletion is a recurrent abnormality in CLL that can range in size and is often actually cytogenetically cryptic, and is thought to focus primarily on deleting one copy of the TP53 gene, although there are also other genes in the region of deletion which may also be involved, and that's been a topic of interest research-wise. Most patients who have 17p deletion will also have a somatic mutation of the other TP53 allele, and many of these are some of the hotspot DNA binding domain mutations that are well described in TP53 in a variety of cancers. There are some data, including from our group, that having both copies of P53 down in this way, one through deletion and one through mutation, is worse clinically than having just one abnormality. An isolated TP53 mutation is the least common. We do see isolated 17p relatively commonly, but isolated P53 mutations probably only a few percent at diagnosis, although it goes up significantly later.
At a sort of pathophysiologic level, how do you explain to your fellows why, for example, a patient with either 17p or P53 doesn't respond to chemoimmunotherapy and will respond to novel agents? At a genomic level, is there any sort of logic to it?
Well, this is not extremely well known, but I think it may have to do with the fact that chemoimmunotherapy tends to need to induce apoptosis to kill cells, and so P53 is often required for the cells to kill themselves off in response to whatever therapy is inducing DNA damage. The novel agents, as we know from what you see in vitro, at least the kinase inhibitors, this doesn't apply to venetoclax, actually don't kill the cells very potently in vitro, and in fact, a significant amount of how they work may be through modulating the microenvironment, removing the stimuli that help keep the cells growing and dividing. And then the cells obviously need to die off as part of that process, and there is a substantial early cell kill. But the mechanism may be different and may be P53 independent.
So are you saying that perhaps there's a different mechanism of anti-tumor action of BTK inhibitors in 17p versus non-17p?
No, I think it's the same across all CLLs, but the reason that it works in 17p is that it's not as P53 dependent as a chemotherapy-based therapy.